Len, this morning, temperatures in the Chicago area here in the low 40s this morning. And, you know, in spite of the fact that we've moved into October, even on weekdays, even with chilly mornings, it still seems that there is quite a demand for golf. You call local courses looking to get out, and you can, but tee times are still somewhat slim pickings. You might only have four or five choices on a morning, even if you call a day or two in advance. So it's amazing. The game seems to be still running very strong.
You know, this isn't just Chicago area. This is nation. This is across the country, a nationwide phenomenon. We just got back from an 11-day road trip visiting golf destinations in North Carolina and South Carolina. The courses were very busy there. Now, here back in Florida, in South Florida, the weather temperature-wise, of course, is always warm enough to play, but we're in some real heavy rain and flooding in the area, so I think the courses are going to be off limits to us for a little while. But I tell you, across the country, golf is this may be the longest golf season for playing that we've really ever had, because I think people are going to be willing to, because they lost a lot of the spring to the pandemic restrictions. They'll be willing to play a lot later into the fall, so that's a good thing.
Len, the Illinois PGA is coming off a big fundraiser yesterday for the Illinois PGA Foundation. The Ryan Sandberg, the former Cub, tied in with the Illinois PGA and the Illinois PGA Foundation to raise some money for the foundation. And I saw that Jim Billiter, now of the Glenview Club, and his team were victorious yesterday, but hopefully when it's all said and done, the real winners were the Illinois PGA Foundation and all the good things they do and the places that they spend and donate their money.
Well, I tell you, that group, I played it on Wednesday, I believe, and that was, you know, that's a really a great site for people don't get to play that course. It's got a lot of history there in Lake Forest, but I'm glad that they had a successful day there. Illinois PGA Foundation is really a worthwhile thing. They've run it for a lot of years, and I don't know if they've gotten all the credit that they deserve, but that's great that they had a fundraiser there, and it's good to have Ryan Sandberg involved in it, because his presence would certainly help any golf event.
Well, the Illinois PGA will be busy the first couple of days next week. The Players' Championship, the final major of the year, and this year a little bit of a format change. The top 35 players on the Player of the Year points list get invited, and it'll be at Conway Farms, which will be, you know, a good test for the guys, and I'm sure that all of them will enjoy playing there, especially since it's been a place for not only top amateur golf in the past, but three times the BMW Championship.
Well, you know, this is really an upgrade for that tournament. It was always considered their fourth major, but it's hard to think of it as a major. It was played, you know, late in the year after the golf season had kind of really wound down, and it was played out of the Chicago area at Eagle Ridge, which is one of my favorite places, and also Metamora Fields. But moving it, keeping it in Chicago with a select field at a course like Conway Farms, which of course has a very rich tournament history, most notably having hosted three BMW championships on the PGA Tour, that can only upgrade the status of that tournament. And I think that having the top 35 on Bernardi point list will create a lot of drama. It'll certainly bring more attention to what's a very coveted honor for the Illinois Club Pros, the Player of the Year honor. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out, and I hope a lot of people are able to go to that tournament and watch it, because it's a really, really a good event.
Well, I'm sure some of the membership will be out there following, and maybe some of the friends, families, and members at the clubs that some of these professionals represent could be out there as well. The Illinois PGA also announced the Senior Open champion was just recently crowned, and so the majors are now finally, here we are, October, and the majors are finally starting to wrap up for the section players.
This senior championship with the regular senior Illinois Senior Players Championship A week later, the senior players play their event. That pretty well has got, you got to think that's the end of that big season for the local tournament play. I mean, we're well into October now. I think it's a lot later than our season is usually ended. But nationwide, of course, we have big events for the LPGA. We, of course, the Masters in November. The women's tour, the LPGA, is playing all the way into early December. So it's great that the golf season is still going on for quite a while. It's something to look forward to for usually at a period where everything is wound down completely.
Len, yesterday I had a chance to go out to Tour Edge, World Corporate Headquarters there in beautiful Batavia, Illinois, and see some of the new products that are getting launched next week. And I know we'll be able to talk more about them, but when you see these clubs and you see how they look, how they feel, how they play, and you swing them a little bit, It's amazing that Tour Edge can come out with such a fine product line and do it to a price point that I think is going to catch a lot of golfers' eyes.
Well, you know, Tour Edge is over 30 years old, but it's really its best years have just been recently. They've really made an impact, particularly on the Champions Tour. I think getting involved in the Champions Tour was really a good idea for Tour Edge, and they've got players playing their clubs on other tours as well. But this product launch in October intrigues me. You know, that was usually not the time that it would be a few months later before any of the companies were willing to bring out their new gear. They would bring it out maybe at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando in January. But everything's changing in golf. And I think we're in for Tour Edge is going to be a big player this month because they're going to announce all kinds of nice new things with their equipment, and their equipment is top of the line, no question about it.
Well, the word is that the new product line will be available for people to hit and test and purchase in November, so we'll have to see how that goes, which, you know, Len, raises the question. We have the PGA Merchandise Show at the end of January, and usually a lot of companies roll out new products there. But you have to wonder about, as you said, things are changing in golf. And you have to think, why wouldn't it be a bad idea for especially equipment companies to roll out equipment, say, late October, early November, so that people who have just come off, shall we say, a frustrating season on the golf course and have decided that they want to get new equipment, get it then. And in addition, you'd be leading into what's known as the Thanksgiving Black Friday weekend, getting clubs in advance of the holidays. More often than not, if people don't buy clubs in advance of the holidays, sometimes people get a break from work there, 2 to 3 weeks off around Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's, and you know, they might, even though it's indoor golf season up here, they might go get fitted somewhere, whether it's a PGA Tour store, whether it's in the Mistwood Golf Dome, you know, or any of the other indoor places, Club Champion, things like that. It's a window of opportunity for people to go get new clubs. And as a golfer, wouldn't you be a little frustrated to go, say, around the holidays, someone's given you a nice holiday gift, maybe a gift certificate to go get fitted and get new clubs, and you go order everything, and then 3 weeks later, all the equipment you just bought from a company, you see that they've announced brand new product down in Orlando at the PGA show, and you're thinking, yeah, I've got new stuff, and I'm already a step behind.
Now, if you think about it now, it's tied into some of the changes that have come of the golf industry. You know, golf stuff makes for good Christmas gifts. It's not just buying for yourself or buying clubs. I mean, it leads into the Christmas season. It should such a move like this should stimulate golf travel from the cold weather climates like Chicago into warm weather climates like where I'm living in. You get new gear. You want to try it out. You don't want to wait till the spring. Come to Florida, come to Arizona, come to California, come. You don't have to go even that far to find a golf course that you could play in the winter months. And if you can't travel, golf simulators are really coming on. They're that industry has grown rapidly just in the last couple years. And there's places where you can hit the ball and play on simulators. You could play like the golf dome at Mistwood. You'd be able to hit golf balls there. There's opportunities to stay involved in golf, no matter where you live, really, throughout the winter months.
Well, it makes me wonder if the people who run the PGA merchandise show, Reed Expositions, should talk to the PGA of America and whether or not a fall show would make more sense. Now, I know a lot of people that are up north are looking for a reason to head south for the winter, play some golf, and start gearing up for the season, so to speak. But, you know, it's one of those questions. Would a fall merchandise show make more sense? I don't know. I like coming down by you in Florida in January, getting out of the winter. I think a lot of pros do. You'll have to wonder what the future of that show will be when it comes to looking ahead on the calendar.
Well, it is something to think about. I tell you, the PGA has a show in the fall, in a much smaller show than the one in Orlando. They have a show in Las Vegas. Basically, it's more of an apparel show, though. It's not so much where new real equipment is put out there, and it's not nearly as well attended, of course. But I think that there's a lot of thinking going to be going on here, a lot of decisions to be made, and some of it is going to really result in changes across the board for golf. I think that a movement of the PGA merchandise show, I don't know direction it should go. Maybe it should be the thing in the spring. Maybe it should go back in the fall, like we're suggesting now. But a lot of things are going to change. A lot of things have been changing, of course, and some of them have been for the better. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the PGA merchandise show, because it's right now, it's not a given that it's going to go on in Orlando. I know they're trying very hard to keep it going and to bring it back, but right now, from what I gather, it's not a given that it's going to be held at its usual dates.
Well, due to the pandemic, you have to wonder if there is a show in January come 2021, even though it's later in the month, maybe than normal. How many people might attend, whether companies might take a pass this year? I'm sure there's a lot of companies right now that are polling the people that they meet with at the show to see if they're attending. And, you know, if you're a equipment company or apparel company and you find out that 75% or up of your regular people that you meet with at the PGA merchandise show aren't coming, then you have to question the investment about going down there yourself.
It's a very expensive show for these companies because they bring, you know, 40, 50 people, including all their equipment, and do a lot of entertaining while they're here. It's been a force of habit that, you know, if you're not here, then you don't look so good. But, you know, in recent years, TaylorMade has skipped the show. And that's as big a company up as there is out there. You know, it's a major expense. I think that maybe the answer would be to stress the demo day aspect of that show. Outdoor demo day. Every Tuesday of PGA show week, they have a huge thing over Orange County National Golf Club, which lends itself to a demo day better than any facility I've ever seen. Maybe that'll be a take on a bigger role in the inside stuff. Maybe that'll go bye-bye, or maybe that'll be severely curtailed. But an interesting thought all the way around. Golf is still going strong, so I wouldn't rule out a PGA merchandise show, but I would expect it to take on a little different look than it has in the past.
Well, maybe the merchandise show or some form of it could take place in the colder months up north at the new PGA headquarters in Frisco, Texas. And saw some pictures. It looks like the building is somewhat up. And I know that one of our local teaching pros, Carol Rhodes, is moving down there and setting up and having an office there in the PGA of America headquarters there under the education department. I'm told that a yearly membership to the golf courses there is $900 a year for at least one of the plans. Anyway, I think it'll be interesting to see when that facility is pretty much close to 100% complete, if the PGA, even one year, looks to have some kind of a show there. I know there's supposed to be an expo center built at an adjoining hotel that is supposed to be going up. And it would be fun to play those courses and see equipment and apparel and other items and let all the PGA members around the country come there and see what the home office looks like.
Well, this is really an extraordinary time for the industry because that of course, the move from the main headquarters of the PGA of America, they'll still have headquarters here down the road for me here in Palm Beach Gardens, but that move to Frisco, that's going to change a lot of things. The USGA moving to Pinehurst, that's going to change a lot of things. I find it real weird that the Golf Channel is moving from the seemingly ideal golf climate of Orlando all the way to Connecticut, and an awful lot of people are losing their jobs over this. But come December 31st, Golf Channel, or very close to that date, all those people will be located elsewhere, away from Florida. So, you know, it's really a strange time for golf, and some of these moves, you can see how they'd work out or look promising or are exciting or refreshing. You know, time's going to tell whether all these moves, they seem to be coming fast and furious to me, maybe a little too fast and furious. It'll be interesting to see how they all work out.
The Golf Channel move up north to, I believe it's, what, Connecticut?
Connecticut,
yeah. Well, what are they going to do opening day when they're up there in January? I can't wait to see their first live shot out in the snow in front of their studios. And maybe they can get some of those heaters out there, melt a patch of snow, and then have one of their teaching pros go out and give the lesson or the drill outside. It ought to be interesting. Changes, we were just touching on that a little bit. And what we've seen here is some changes to a few of the golf courses. And one of them, I'm thrilled for the board and the management team, general manager John Parsons and his staff at the Schaumburg Golf Club. I went out and played all 27 holes. All three nines are open from renovation. Spoke to John after I was done golfing, and I said, well, where's the renovation at now? He just smiled and said, it's done. So after 5 years of planning and work that started inside in the clubhouse, building up those simulator areas, and then redoing the range, redoing the putting greens, and redoing all three nines, nine holes at a time per year. After 5 years, they're done. There's a certain element of just sitting back and letting golfers come out and play, and the staff over there enjoying watching people come out to play. And John has said, you know, ever since they got the Tournament 9 reopened in August, for 2 months now, they've come close to 450 to 500 golfers a day. And sounds like people love it. John says that realistically, they haven't heard any complaints yet.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, my hat's off to those folks over there. John and his gang, they deserve to take a few deep breaths, though. I mean, that was an awful lot going on for a long period, 5 years. I've never heard of a renovation period where that went on, well, that was that extensive and went on that long. That's extraordinary in golf anywhere. And when I get back to Chicago, that's the place I'm heading for real fast. I want to see, I played, of course, one of the courses with you back with the last time I was in town, but I want to see the whole finished product now, but that's for sure.
Well, if you enjoyed our day on the Players Nine, which was the first nine that was renovated, I know that you'll like the other 18 holes as well. The Players Nine over there, prior to the renovation, it was kind of the Little Sisters of the Poor Nine. It didn't always attract many golfers. You know, it might have been a great place to take beginners or, you know, people who are higher handicappers and didn't want a little more extensive challenge on the main two nines. But now that nine can stand tall with the other two nines, and therefore they switch them out over there, and I think that's a good plan. You know, the main 18-hole routing per day, if you come on a certain day, well, you have the tournament and the Players Nine. The next day might be the tournament and the Bear Nine. The next day might be the Bear and the Players Nine. So it rotates around. This way, you know, they spread out the golf, spread out how many people are trooping around over certain parts of the golf course, and I got to believe that that's going to help long-term as well.
Yeah, you know, having 27 holes, that is a huge, huge advantage for any facility. I think it's almost seems an odd thing to say, but it almost seems better to have 27 holes than 36, where you would have two golf courses, but you'd have, you know, the excitement of having 27. You can really use a lot of flexibility in playing there, rather than just bounce from one course to the other back and forth. A lot of, three different ways to play a course with 27 holes available. Now, for Schomburg, one thing that I think we ought to all be kind of on the lookout for is how they're going to, now that the product is done, how are they going to promote it? Are they going to get a big event? Are they going to try to do it that way? Are they going to do a lot of, more demo day kind of things? Are they going to, they've got to use that very nice facility in the best possible way. And there's all kinds of ways that course can be used now. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what they do next over there.
Terms of tournaments, I played earlier this week, and the day after I was there, the high school girls regional was going to be out there, and mm-hmm. I know that the Illinois PGA and the CDGA, the Chicago District Golf Association, have both inquired about having events there next year, so it wouldn't surprise me to see all of these organizations, including local high school golf, maybe even local college, Harper Junior College, I believe they have a golf team over there. And, schools like that might look quickly to a facility like that to potentially have some kind of an invitational. We'll have to see how that goes. You mentioned 36 as compared to 27 holes. I know there's been some talk about White Pines Golf Club in Bensenville, currently two 18-hole layouts, selling off some land, reducing to a 27-hole facility, and then using the money from that land sale to fix up the rest of the property. And I recently went over there to play the West Course, after having played the East Course a few weeks earlier. You know what, Len? There is a facility there that really could be something if the Bensenville Park District allows Mistwood Golf and a good architect to come in there. A lot of work is tree work and cleaning out some brush and fescue areas that take away from play. But there's a lot of potential there if they want to roll up their sleeves and get to work.
I've kind of been close to the White Pines course over there because my father's company used to be in Bensenville. It's no longer there, but we did things at White Pines. When I was covering the Blackhawks for the Chicago Sun-Times, they trained a lot in Bensenville, and I'd use the Mike Monroe's golf dome when it was over there. I'd use that, slipping a little workout on that. The golf course also used to host back in the day an event called the Chick Evans Amateur. I don't believe that event is held anymore, but it was very popular, maybe 20, 30 years ago. I'm not sure that they even still do it. But that there's a lot of space there. That's the key there. Most suburbs, they can't find a place where there's that much space and what they can do with the golf course. I think you're right. I think that Mistwood's going to bring its influence to White Pines, and that's really going to become something. And I think it probably over there, it might be the best thing for all concerned to knock that down to 27 holes and to try to work out some kind of an indoor option over there for the winter months. That's too good of a property and too much golf availability there to not go the full 12 months a year in some capacity or another.
Well, not too far from White Pines is the Preserve at Oak Meadows, and the clubhouse construction is advancing. Even though it doesn't sound like they're going to be able to move their operation into that building, but I know there's hope that between this month and next month that they get enough of it done so that workers can actually work inside and get that part of the project done, and then move the golf operation and the other parts of the operation that are going to go in there over to that brand new clubhouse before the golf course opens in spring of 2021.
Well, I know that the Illinois PGA has already voiced interest in having some events over there at Oak Meadows, and I think it's a great idea. That club is such a great central location. When the new clubhouse comes in, I mean, it's going to be Katie by the door for events over there. I mean, it's going to be a place that's going to be very much in demand, and you can probably have most any tournament at that course. That's a course I have lived with through its all its renovation and through its bad times and its good times, and now are its best times. It's going to have it's going to be available in to all kinds of tournaments, all kinds of players, and it'll be an exciting place to be around.
With that, Len,